Now, I've got another lovely story for you today. The name of a Second World War pilot has at last been added to the war memorial in Hintlesham, 81 years after his death. Harold Graham Tipple is buried in the village churchyard, but not listed, or he wasn't, on the memorial.
These are the names on the Hintlesham War Memorial for the Second World War, 39 to 45. They're more than names. Behind the names, there are stories, and stories that were cut short as a result of war. The stories of sailors, soldiers, and airmen. Frederick Coe, he was a soldier, served in Italy and is buried at Anzio at the Beachhead Cemetery. Ronald Gant, he was a sailor. He served on board HMS Rockingham, and his ship hit a mine just off the coast of Aberdeen. And then finally, Harold G. Tipple. Harold G. Tipple was a 19-year-old, and he was killed just a few fields away. He died 81 years ago, and his name has just appeared on the memorial. This is his story, the story of Harold G. Tipple, the last man on the memorial.
And you can see more of that video if you go to YouTube. The last man on the memorial. The voice there you heard is that of Gerald Main, who lives in Hintlesham, has become absolutely fascinated by the memorial and those who are listed. And Gerald joins us now. Afternoon to you, Gerald.
Yeah, good afternoon, Leslie. Fascinated is one word. A few others would say obsessed, really. fascinated will do.
And I think it's an earlier... You were doing research into other people on the memorial. You've got a website as well. And I think it was some of that research that led to discovering about Harold G. Tipple.
Yeah, it was a funny thing, really. Harold Graham Tipple is buried in the churchyard at Hintlesham, and as you heard just a moment ago, he was killed in a crash in December 1939, and he was buried in the churchyard, despite the fact that he didn't have friends or family or any real connection with Hintlesham at all, but that's where he was buried, and he kind of just got forgotten. Although he was buried there and has lain in good Suffolk Hintlesham soil for 81 years, no one had really thought to put his name on the memorial. At the end of the war, when they were deciding who to put on the memorial, I guess because he didn't have family and friends in the immediate area, his name didn't go on. And so his grave in the corner of the churchyard has been there for 80-odd years. But really, his name should also have been on the memorial, and that is now fixed.
So you heard about this. So did it take a lot of work to get his name on the memorial?
No, the doors that I've pushed on were very easily opened, and everyone's been really enthusiastic about the research that I've been doing, and just to discover more about this young man who ended up in the churchyard and now is on the war memorial. So it wasn't really a battle to get his name on the memorial. I think once people had heard the story, and most of the people, pretty much bar one person in the village, really had no idea about who he was. He was just a pilot who didn't really have a connection with the village and therefore didn't know anything about him, and therefore why put him on the memorial? Well, now they do understand the connection between the village and Harold, and when I took it to the parish council, they were more than happy to put the name on the memorial, and there it is.
And people can see the video and hear more of the story. He was an amazing hero, wasn't he? And he was so young. That's the thing that always amazes me. But just tell us a bit of his story.
Well, he was born in St Leonard's. This would have been, had he been alive today, he would have just turned 100 this month. So he's exactly the same generation as Captain Tom. He's exactly the same generation, had he survived. But yeah, he was born 100 years ago. He went to school in Bishop Stortford in Hertfordshire, where to this day he's remembered as being a great swimmer. He was the captain of the swimming team, as I discovered literally yesterday. He was the captain of the swimming team. He was a great sportsman. After he left school, he lived with his mum in Bagshot. He took part in amateur dramatics and took part in quite an active social club in Bagshot. So he's just like a 19-year-old kid of today in many ways. He had lots of interests. He was a busy fella. He loved his sport. And it was at that time he learned to fly. And he was 19 years old at the outbreak of World War II, and that's when he got his wings, and that's when his fortunes took him to Suffolk, because the first squadron he joined was 264 Squadron, who were based at Martlesham Heath, and that was kind of the beginning, and in some ways the end of his flying career, because when he was at Martlesham Heath, he and another pilot were asked to go to the Cotswolds, to a place called RAF Little Rissington, to ferry a couple of planes. The planes were aircraft buffs. They were ferry Battle Mark 1s, and they were asked to go to the Cotswolds, pick up these two planes, and then ferry them back to Martlesham Heath. The only thing was, his colleague who went, Nicholas Gresham Cook, known on the squadron as Lanky Cook, he had lots of experience, but sadly, Harold Tipple, who's buried in the churchyard in Hintlesham, he had very little experience, and when he went to Little Rissington to pick up the plane, they had bad weather for a couple of days and didn't have time to practice or rehearse their flight. So the first time that Harold had sat in the cockpit at the controls and actually taking this plane off the ground was on his last flight. So he had no experience. He had some instruction. He took the plane up and along with Lanky Cook. And by the time it was smoking, black smoke was coming out of the engine from the get-go, really, from the takeoff. And by the time they travelled over 100 miles to Suffolk, as the plane was flying on over the fields just around between Raiden and Hintlesham, the plane was getting lower and lower and lower. And I think it was obvious to Harold that his plane was on fire, his engine was on fire. He tried to bail out, and as he was bailing out, the altitude was getting lower and lower, and the plane crashed into a tree before he managed to bail clear of the plane, and he was killed, and that was his story, really. His body was then taken to a mortuary in Wattisham, and then just before Christmas, his funeral took place in Hintlesham, and that's where he lies to this day.
I love the fact that, because you've done this with the other people on the memorial as well, haven't you? It's making these names people, isn't it? And to add Harold to that memorial as well, so that we all remember them.
Yeah, I think that the more that they become more than names, the better, really. Because if it's just a name, it means nothing, really. But if you know a little bit, if you learn a little bit about the names on the memorial, then suddenly it comes alive, because he was a 19-year-old... I hate using the word kid, and I shouldn't do, really, because he was a young man. And but, you know, when I think of 19-year-olds living today that I know, I think, that, you know, they're kids, really. Of course, that's what they were. But the more we know about them, and, you know, the fact that he took part in Midsummer Night's Dream just 3 months before he joined the squadron in Martlesham Heath, he was in this amateur dramatics production, suddenly that brings it all to life. He becomes a real human.
And people can read about some of the other people on your website, can't they? HintleshamWarMemorial.com?
Yeah, they're all the names from the First and Second World War are listed on the website, and you can read the stories about not only how they met their demise and where they're commemorated, but little snippets, fragments, really, about their lives. And you know, but some people, next to nothing, really. We kind of know where they lived and maybe something about their relations, and others you feel that, and indeed the story of Harold Tipple, you kind of feel that we know quite a bit about his story. And it was helped because after the accident, amazingly, given that you know, this was in the midst of World War II, although the early months of, within 48 hours of the accident, there was an inquiry at Martlesham, and they summoned witnesses from the fields of Hintlesham and Chattersham to go and give their testimony in, and they got people over from Gloucester. Within 48 hours, they got this court of inquiry together, and you think today how long it takes for investigations to take place. Well, they were doing it within 48 hours, and it was all wrapped up. And the thing that intrigued me was that after 48 hours, it was all wrapped up, and then it was classified secret. And it was at that point when I saw that in the National Archives at Kew there were records of Harold Tipple that were secret. It kind of got the broadcaster, journalistic bit of me tingling a little bit. I wonder why. I wonder why it's secret. And so I used a Freedom of Information request to get the records declassified, just to find out more about the story and the accident and why it was classified, why it was secret. The main reason was because the details of poor Harold's crash and what happened to him and to his body were so nasty. I haven't seen them. They were redacted. But that was the reason that was given. Everything, I've seen everything else other than the gory, gory details, which I don't really want to see. You don't need to know that.
Once a journalist, always a journalist.
I think there's something about that. But there was the thing that it did reveal was that of all those witnesses who turned up at Martlesham Heath 48 hours after the accident, there were more than a few who were just a little bit anxious. The outcome was that Harold was, they said that Harold was kind of responsible for his own death by abandoning his plane, but actually he'd never been taught to fly the flipping thing in the first place. And quite a few people, witnesses, were just a little bit, had niggling doubts about really whether he was experienced enough to fly that plane at that time in those conditions. So I'm kind of glad that we discovered that. There's no great cover-up. There's no great mystery. But enough people had doubts as to
just to speak up for him, really.
Yeah, I think so. But I certainly wouldn't be one to point fingers at anyone at the inquiry, even though it is 81 years ago, because it was in the middle of a war, and there were 70,000 other RAF airmen who were pretty much to follow Harold Tipple and have similar outcomes to their lives. So there were extraordinary times, and you know, who would want to point fingers of blame at anyone, really? And it's just a really sad story.
I mean, I know you've managed to get a fair amount of press coverage for this as well. And is it right that you've got a first cousin once removed get in touch?
Yeah, it was extraordinary. The your good self, thank you very much for your interest in it, and the EADT, Judy Rimmer, wrote a lovely piece in the EADT, which got picked up by the Daily Telegraph. And as I was having my morning cup of tea yesterday, I got an email out of the blue from his first cousin once removed, who'd seen it in the Telegraph, and said, well, obviously, I can't remember Harold, but I do remember his mum. She's quite fond of a G&T, as she recalls. Just the tiny little things about her life and how Harold was known to be a very handsome young man, very lively, engaging. And those little details, like you were saying earlier on, when you know those details, the names on a memorial become real and they become human, and I suppose that it just emphasises the sacrifice that they made. They really did give their lives. I mean, he was 19 years old. He might have lived for another 60, 70 years, who knows, at that time. But he made a sacrifice. And it's good that we know a little bit about him.
I think he's lovely. Have you got another name? Who are you on the case for now? Have you finished?
No, I'm not really. I'm now at the stage with the names on the memorial that I just get the odd email from time to time that just comes out of the blue and that gives you a little bit of information. And for example, after I appeared on your show a few months ago and we were talking about Jack Gant, and that interview ended up, and long story really, but it ended up being heard in Australia, and I got an invite to go and give a talk to a historical association. I said, yeah, very happy to do it. If you pay me expenses, I'd love to do it. But, you know, just funny, the interest in these names. And it's the same for all war memorials, really. I think people are fascinated in their First and Second World War history and people's links today with their past. So there'll be an email in the inbox at some stage that'll make me go, wow, look at that.
And I'll watch this space to talk about it,
yeah.
Gerald.
I'll give you a call, Leslie. Don't you worry, I'll give you a call.
I look forward to it. Gerald, thanks a lot for being with us. Gerald Main, so he founded Hintlesham War Memorial.com. If you want to see that video that he's put together about Harold Graham Tipple, The Last Man on the Memorial, have a look at YouTube and follow it up. The Last Man on the Memorial. And Gerald, just in case, because we're talking about him being a journalist, former boss here of BBC Radio Suffolk.